Ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to do something different. We're going to interview the interviewer. Her name is Natasha Graziano. And what I want to know is, who is she? How did she become this way? She's the number one motivational speaker in the world. But how did that happen? Because you know what? It's not an accident. So let's welcome the one, the only, Natasha Graziano.
Love that intro. That was so cool. This is such a special episode on the podcast. I love this.
Thank you very much.
We've never done this.
Well, you know what? People want to know about you. And what I want to know about you is who was someone that motivated you as a child? How did you become like this?
Oprah. I watched a lot of Oprah. I thought she was so sensational, being like one of the first Black women to do what she did, to really stand out in a way that was so dynamic, so unique. I watched her, Denzel Washington, one of my big motivators. I would listen to his speeches and, you know, YouTube came out. And when YouTube came out, his speeches started to be positioned on there. And listening to his words were what really inspired me to want to use my voice. But I never knew how at the time. So those were two people. And the third one was Rhonda Byrne, the writer of The Secret, who full 360, 15 years later, ended up being my mentor.
Wow. Wow. You know, I want to know, can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? How was that when growing up? Because being different is usually very difficult for people because you get criticized or bullied. What was it like for you as a kid?
For me as a child was tough growing up. You know, I've told you a little bit about this before. I was bullied. I was an outcast. I was different. People didn't get me. I didn't conform to the societal way, and I wasn't the same as everyone else. I was my own character. I was this outrageous little star who just had a bigger voice, and she kind of spoke a bit different to everybody. She didn't have a very traditional British accent. She had some kind of other accent, which was already where the fuck are you from?
That's right.
She was different, and like I would say, speak my mind. If somebody looked wonderful, man, woman, dolphin, I would say, you look amazing. Or if I thought that they had lovely energy, I'd be like, I love your, I remember this one really clearly. And I said to this girl at school, I love your earrings. They're so beautiful. Because we were all wearing school uniforms. We all looked the same, but she had these beautiful little earrings on. And that little comment of, I love your earrings, circulated around the school as, Natasha's so fake. She said, I love your earrings.
Right.
The fuck is wrong with you? But at 13, you're saying it to your friend because I was saying it innocently, but the 13-year-old other kids are like wanting to show off to their other friends saying that.
How did you deal with that? How did you deal with the pain? How did you deal with the rejection? Because people took something positive into something negative, which is very common with super successful people. They always have that journey. How did you deal with that pain?
It was really hard at the time. Like, I do remember crying. I went home to my mom and I was like, this is so bad. Why do I hate my life so much? Why is everyone so mean to me? But I remember in that moment thinking, in a few years from now, I will leave this school in 5 years and I will go out into the real world where we're not in a school.
Right.
And people don't care about me so much. They care about paying bills. And they talk about adult topics like houses and businesses to run and how to travel and how to pick their kids up from school. Suddenly, it's not about the bullshit and the mundane and all that. And I had this epiphany at a very young age that it was just a ticking time clock of, until I got out of this fake place, this society that I was in, this school, and I knew that I would be around new people.
You know, today I got to meet your wonderful mother. And what I want to know is, what's the biggest lesson that your mother taught you that you never told her before?
Ooh, good one. What did you teach me, mommy? Well, my mother taught me something and I'll tell you what I learned back. So she told me her purpose in her life, she believes, was to birth me. Bear in mind, I'm one of five. Sorry, other siblings. But her purpose in life was to birth me so my message could be heard. That was the most profound thing I've ever heard in my life because I realized how big my mission is. But what I learned, therefore, was to make sure that that mission was heard because somebody else gave their life for me and took the risk of their life. Having a child is not, you know, easy, and particularly not back then,
right?
But it was something that she committed to. She was a full-time mom for me and my siblings. She nurtured us so that I would be able to achieve my goals, so that I could do my talents and take my talents to the next level.
What is the biggest, best piece of advice you've ever been given?
I mean, it's cliche, but never give up. Get the fuck back up is what I learned. Get back up. Literally, get up.
But where did that come from? That's not a normal thing. Where did you get that feeling of wanting to get back up?
From coaches around me. From teachers around me. From my mentors. From 18, I was doing Kabbalah. And my teacher, Ruthie, she told me from a young age, get up. Continue. There's more life out there for you. There's something greater for you. And I said, I've got to go to America. She literally said, and it's in your astrology sign. It's there. You're going to move. It's in
you. You know what? There's something very special about you. When I first met you, I knew something. There is a line that my teacher once told me, which is, life is not living as long as possible. Life is creating something that would live longer than you.
Wow. That is so profound. I literally want that on my wall. Can we write that down? Okay, wait. This is interesting. I know you're asking me the questions, but you said you saw something different in me, right?
Yes.
You said you saw something special in me.
Yes.
You have found stars, recognized right. stars, and seen stars your whole existence.
Right.
What is it that makes a star? What is that quality? Like, if you could define what it is that I have, that Leonardo DiCaprio has, that stars
have. You know what they all have? The greatest thing you can ever give someone is your joy. You bring a lot of joy into the world. And one thing is that if I'm a star, I recognize other stars.
Right.
You see, in life, you always find if people really like you, it's because they see something in you which is in them. And that's what you have. And the idea is that we have to connect to our authenticity. We have to connect to who you are. And that's what you have. You are willing to, you know, you're willing to like bet it all. You're all in. Either we love you or we don't, but you're a giver.
Yeah, I am.
I know, I can tell.
Thank you.
I thank for giving, and we appreciate that you're doing all this. So what's the future hold for you? Where are you going next?
I am moving with the wave of the world into innovating and creating more incredible things for the world to be able to do themselves and the people who tune in. Naturally going into TV, I'm already hosting shows. I have my late night talk show. I'm working on my godfather, the founder of E, Larry Namer. We're doing so many exciting things. We're just naturally, I'm being like drawn into it. Who knows? Maybe I'll go back into movies again.
You know what? You never know where you're going because if you're really talented, you can do many things.
Many. I do. Oh, yeah. Omnipresent.
No, but people who are very talented can do many things.
Many. I know. It's so true. Somebody, for example, I see these like NFL players, they come on the show and now they're in music careers at the same time in tandem. Olympic athletes are doing one and winning Olympic gold medal for one and then they're winning another gold medal in another field. And I'm like,
of course. Because we have multi-talented abilities.
Yes.
And when you have Leonardo da Vinci, who was a doctor and a painter, and of course.
Yeah.
Sometimes people say, well, what do you really do? I do everything. And if somebody asks me where you're from, I'm from everywhere.
Right.
But when people ask
my age now, I'm like, I'm trying to forget, and I have almost multiple times I've said the wrong thing. I'm like, sorry, that's so weird because
I asked you before, you said to me, my age is unlisted.
Yes.
Something about my number, yes. But I don't think it matters how old you are because the future belongs to the young. Here's a really piece of advice. Don't grow up. There's no future getting old. Forget about that.
Peter Pan syndrome.
No, you have to stay young.
Yes.
Because the future belongs to the young.
I agree.
You never can get old. I'm definitely younger than everybody.
I totally agree with that. There's never a point in your life where you're too old to do it.
If you're too old, then it's over. But yeah. The idea is that you have to remain. The future belongs to the young. The people that I work with are still thinking like, oh, let's try this, let's try that.
So true.
It's not grandmothers that are going to come up with a new idea. You have to recognize that because they feel a caution. Don't try this, don't try
yes.
that. Remain young.
Love it. Oh my goodness, this is so exciting. Thank you for interviewing me
today.
Anytime.
You're very good.
Thank you.
Anyway, here's Natasha Graziano. We love her. She's here. We want her. And this is only the beginning. Get ready for the future because it's going to be big.